Well, good morning. It's wonderful as we're studying the book of Hebrews to learn so much about who Jesus is and why he's so important to us and what he has to say to us. We're continuing in chapter 4 of Hebrews today. In many ways, it's a continuation of last week's passage. But again, as we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, for your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, that your word certainly does penetrate, even as we will read today, and does help us to understand what is truth and help us to follow it. So we pray and surrender ourselves again to your word. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, let me read the passage. It's in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God says. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet, his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter the rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David. As was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following the example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Therefore, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I wonder if you've ever asked yourself the question, why are you a Christian and not a Muslim or Jewish or a follower of Hinduism or Buddhism or Sikhism or Confucius? I imagine many of you would simply say, well, I was born into a Christian home, so I must be a Christian. It certainly is true for the majority of those who call themselves Catholic. Many a Catholic will say that because they were baptized as a child into the Catholic Church and raised a Catholic, they must be on their way to heaven because the Catholic Church has told them once a Catholic, always a Catholic. One of the things that attracted and attracts me to Jesus is his teaching, in that Jesus never pulled his punches when it came to truth. Why am I a follower of Christ? Friends, Jesus spoke and said it as it was. Let me give you some example. On one occasion, Jesus said to the Jewish leaders, religious leaders, he said, "You whitewash tombs." Man, he wasn't messing around. He called them, "You brood of vipers." On one occasion, he even said to them, "Your father is Satan." Friends, Jesus didn't mess around. Now, there is one occasion where Jesus said something quite shocking, and it applies to all of us. In Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Have you ever asked yourself the question, what if Jesus was talking about me? Today's passage deals with this vital question. The writer to the Hebrews is trying to answer this question for those to whom he is writing when Jesus says, "Not everyone says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." So, I've entitled my message simply this: why did Jesus say, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven"? Why did he say it? Well, let me help us. First of all, he made this statement because, friends, heaven is a real place. You see, many kind of think of heaven as just a figment of the imagination. But in this passage, the writer to the book of Hebrews is making this point in three different ways in this passage. Heaven is real, so you've got to make sure that you know where you're going. So first of all, he says heaven is real because the promise of heaven is still true. In the opening verse of the chapter, he says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." You see, chapter 4 really belongs with chapter 3. The argument from the previous chapter is continued here. Last week we looked at the subject of why some go to heaven and some go to hell. And he continues the teaching in this chapter. The writer of the book of Hebrews is simply saying this: by the way, the promise of entering his rest still stands. You don't have to go to hell. There's a promise. Heaven is real, he's saying. You see, almost every religion except Buddhism has a concept of the afterlife. In Hindu, it's nirvana or reincarnation. For the Muslim, it's jannah or paradise. For the Jew, it's Abraham's bosom. For the writer to the book of Hebrews, he simply says, entering his rest. Friends, heaven is real. When Jesus says, "Lord," when he says, "Some will not enter this place," it's because they don't really believe it's real. Secondly, the writer is saying heaven is real because God himself is pictured as being there. In verse 4, it says, "For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, 'On the seventh day, God rested from all his work.'" You see, sometimes when you want to make a point, you state the obvious. The point the writer of the book of Hebrews is making is simply this: We all know God didn't get tired when he created the world. Friends, God doesn't get tired. He's omnipotent and his strength never fades. So when it says God rested from all his work, what he's trying to say is there is great reward at the end of creation and God is there. Friend, heaven is real. God is there. When Jesus says some are not going to get there, it's because they don't really believe in heaven. They're kind of living too earthly focused. Thirdly, he says heaven is real because the ultimate reward is far better than the current one. The writer to the book of Hebrews reminds them that their current experience of rest is not so restful after all. In verse 8 he says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day." The point the writer of the book of Hebrews is making is this: that the nation of Israel entered the land promised to them, and yet they were still not at rest. So why did Jesus say, those who say to me, "Lord, Lord," will not enter heaven? The first one is, friends, because some really don't believe heaven is real. Jesus, friends, makes the statement because heaven is real. You can't fool around with the subject. Don't play religion if you don't know the ultimate end of it. If you know the consequence of it, you will deal with your faith more effectively. Secondly, Jesus made the statement because, as the writer of the book of Hebrews says, there are some whose faith is faulty. Now, I want to make this very clear. I'm not judging what you believe. I'm simply stating what I find in this passage. Only God will be the judge of those who will enter into heaven. None of us know who is going to heaven or not going. You can't even be sure if I am going to heaven. Although, obviously, there should be some good indications based on what we teach and how we live. But Jesus makes the statement by saying, "Lord, Lord," not everybody will enter into heaven. Not everybody who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into heaven. Because, friends, some people's faith is faulty. So what does the writer of the book of Hebrews say? He says this, first of all: some faith is faulty because it is incomplete. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." The Greek word translated "fallen short" is the word hysteria, and simply means this: to come too late, to be tardy, to be left behind in a race and so fail to reach a goal. If we were trying to describe it today, we would simply say this: sorry, you missed the bus. Friends, there are many who kind of faith is great at the start. Some of them are even leaders of our youth groups. They have much to say about Jesus while at school. Then they go to college or to university and their faith fades. Some even go well through college or university, but then they enter the hustle and bustle of life and the appeal of money takes hold and soon they begin to fade in their faith. Friends, Jesus said this statement because some people's faith is incomplete. It starts well, but doesn't end. Jesus, secondly, says the statement, because some faith is faulty, because some have no faith. Verse 2 says this, for we also have had the gospel preached to us, because as they did, but the message they heard was no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. The point the writer of the book of Hebrews is making is this. There are some people, friends, who know all the facts about Jesus, but don't know Jesus personally. Let me give you two examples. The book of James says this, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Then James says this, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Then he says, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? You see, James is saying, friends, that some haven't got faith. It may look like they believe, but they're not practicing in any way. I don't know if you know the story of John Wesley. John Wesley, friends, was an ordained preacher. He was going around preaching the word. Until one day on May the 24th, 1738, in a place called Aldersgate in London, and Patricia and I have been there, he went to a meeting of a group of Christians called Moravians. Wesley's intellectual conviction was transformed when he heard the introduction to the letter of Paul on the book of Romans being read. He discovered that faith, that true faith, was faith, not works. And it says, as he listened to the introduction of the book of Romans being read, it said his heart was strangely warmed, and he became a Christian, friends, because while he knew everything about Christianity, he didn't know Christ. Some faith is faulty, friends, because some have no faith. You may know a lot about Jesus, but if you don't know Jesus, you have no faith. That's why Jesus says, there are some who say to me, Lord, Lord, but I will say, I never knew you. Thirdly, some faith is faulty because that faith is disobedient. The writer to the book of Hebrews reminds them that this is what he says, their faith needs to be current. He says, now we who have believed enter that rest. Just as God says, so I declare in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And again in the passage he says, they'll never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter the rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in. Why? Because of their disobedience. Verse 11 says the same thing. Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Friend, the people who came out of Egypt, who were covered by the blood never entered the promised land because of disobedience. And that includes Moses, because of his disobedience. Of course, that's not to say they did not enter into eternity ultimately, because of course we have the example of Moses, who appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. The point the writer of Hebrews is simply trying to make, friends, is simply this, that the vast majority missed out on what God wanted for them because they were disobedient. So why did Jesus make the statement? He made the statement because heaven is real, because there are some whose faith is faulty. And thirdly, he made that statement because he doesn't want us to miss out. Friends, Jesus used shocking language because he wanted to shock us. Friends, why? He doesn't want to miss out, so he encourages us to have faith. The writer to the book of Hebrews says, "Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said." The Greek word translated "enter that rest" is in what is called the present middle indicative first person plural tense. It simply means this, that something is guaranteed to happen personally to each person that believes. And the cherry on top of it is just as God has said. Billy Graham had a famous statement, and it went like this: God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Friend, the writer of the Hebrew to the book of Hebrews wants us to believe so that we may not be excluded from that statement of Jesus. Secondly, he does not want us to miss out, so he reminds us of the urgency. Verse 7 says, "Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it a day, when a long time later he spoke through David, as he said before, 'Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.'" Friends, the Bible is full of messages about the urgency of trusting God. When Zacchaeus saw Jesus, Jesus said, "I'm coming to your house today for tea." And after Zacchaeus had heard Jesus, he gave half his possessions to the poor. Then Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house." In James again, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow, we will go and do this in that city, spend here, there, carry on this business and make money.' Why," he says, "you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Friends, don't forget the example of the parable of the 10 virgins. There were 5 of them who were prepared for the coming of Christ, and 5 of them were not. At the end, the 5 who had to go and buy some extra oil come back. And it says this in Matthew 25, verse 10, 13. "But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were already went in with him to the wedding banquet, but the door was shut. Later the others also came and said, 'Sir, sir,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Friends, he doesn't want us to miss out. He reminding us of the urgency of trusting Jesus. Thirdly, he doesn't want to miss out. So he warns us to surrender to God's word. Friends, this wonderful passage of scripture, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Friend, if you want to know whether what Jesus said applies to you or not, study God's word. God's word will guide you on whether you are saved or not. So, why did Jesus say, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven"? The writer of the Hebrews, book of Hebrews, says Jesus is saying the statement because heaven is real. Don't mess around with this thing. Don't mess around with heaven, friends. It's real. It's coming. Jesus is coming again. You can be sure of that. Secondly, the writer to the book of Hebrews is reminding that some people's faith is faulty. Please make sure that yours is not. And thirdly, the writer to the Hebrews is reminding us, friends, that he doesn't want us to miss out. Jesus doesn't want you to miss out either. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Friend, there is a rest. There is a place where you can go to be with Jesus. Don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, help us to put our faith and trust in you, to be sure, Lord, that we can enter eternity. Help us to heed the words of the writer to the book of Hebrews, so that we will not fall shy of this shocking phrase of yours. Help us to be certain that when we say, Lord, Lord, that we truly mean, Lord, Lord. Of course, it said, Jesus is either Lord of all or not at all. Lord bless you today.